We welcome you back to our studios, live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed on a busy morning. You see a bit of the squad we've put together. Plus, we got Ryan Clark, Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst, ready to go in hour number two. Let's roll it, because it's time to get up with a kickoff countdown. We're T-minus 50 days to the season. This team opens camp today. We'll tell you just how good they're going to be. Then, it's gotta be the shoes. Russ makes a statement, but is his team good enough to back up his words and his feet? And we'll tell you why the greatest of all time is going to have to be better than ever, or it might get awfully ugly this fall in New England. All that and more on the way as we get up with you starting right now. We start with the action in Los Angeles last night. The All-Star game at Dodger Stadium. Pick it up in the bottom of the first, and All-Stars acting like All-Stars. This is going to be Andrés Giménez making one of the genuinely great plays. Look at him going behind the back for the flip and starting a double play. And this is just in the bottom of the first. Just spectacular to watch. It's Manny Machado who is at the plate, and down they go, having some fun. Now, we're still in the first. This is Paul Goldschmidt. This is fun, too. That one's got coming back. Shane McClanahan, the pitcher. National League takes the 2-0 lead in the early going. But wait, top of four, same score, and the Yankees' Giancarlo Stanton is at the plate with a runner aboard. Stanton grew up going to this stadium, going to Dodger games with his dad, sitting in the outfield. Now he's hit one in the outfield. His teammate Aaron Judge loves it. That one's 457 feet. Ties the game at two. But wait, next batter, Byron Buxton, from up about his eyes. Back-to-back jacks for the American League. They travel a combined 882 feet. They take a 3-2 lead. And so then bottom of nine, they turn it over to Emmanuel Class A to try and close it out. He's got a cutter. Jake Cronenworth is the last chance. And down he goes. American League wins it by a score of 3-2, their ninth straight All-Star win. Stanton, the MVP, meaningful for the hometown kid.
Yeah, this is very special to me. So I think it's right up there with anything personally. I have some goals in terms of, you know, winning a championship and going all the way. But yeah, personally for the road I've gone to get to where I am now, this is very special.
Now take a look at this list now. Giancarlo Stanton, the fifth player to win League MVP and All-Star MVP, and that's awfully fancy company that he keeps. Of those, Tony Parker and Cal Ripken are the only ones to go on. Did I say Tony Parker? Sorry, Dave Parker and Cal Ripken are the only ones who also won World Series MVP honors. We'll see if he can join that list there. All right, on we go. We are football 50 days away from opening night. We'll see the Bills and Rams then. We will see the Raiders today. They're the first team to open camp. And the newest Raider, of course, is the superstar Devontae Adams, the best receiver in football, has gone to Vegas. And so has one of the great pass rushers in the sport, Chandler Jones, signed away from Arizona. Since he came into the league in 2012, no player has more sacks than Jones does, with 107.5. And then speaking of former Patriots, Josh McDaniels takes over as Raiders head coach after spending the last 10 seasons in New England as the team's offensive coordinator. So, the Raiders, a new look for a team that made the playoffs last year. RC, you weren't with us when we opened the show this morning with this, but I am firmly of the opinion, I'm a Josh McDaniels believer, I'm a Derek Carr believer, Devontae Adams is the most significant addition any team has made in the NFL this offseason. I think the Raiders are a sneaky, interesting, legit Super Bowl contender in the AFC. What do you think?
Ah, come on, Greeny, don't do this. You know, you do things like this, Greeny, and now I have to say negative things about a team that I believe is going to be better. I don't necessarily know if they're Super Bowl contenders because we have to see what this defensive is like. Obviously, you add Chandler Jones. Max Crosby is a beast on the other side, so you'll have a great pass rush. What is that secondary going to look like, and can they make strides there? Offensively, they're going to be absolutely phenomenal. Josh, in the backfield, you have a running back that's trying to prove prove that he's a guy that's worth a second contract. You have Hunter Renfrow in the slot, monster. Darren Waller at tight end, monster. Devontae Adams, best wide receiver in football. So offensively, I think this team will be really good. Can you stop the Los Angeles Chargers? Can you stop the Broncos? Can you stop the Kansas City Chiefs? So I don't necessarily put this team as a Super Bowl contender, but if we see them playing great down the stretch of the season, this could be a team that is scary to play because they'll have so many offensive weapons.
That's the thing, and RC, just to sort of double back on that, can they stop those teams is one question. The other is, can those teams stop them? Can anybody stop the Raiders? True. You add Devontae Adams to that offense, they could be, if Derek Carr takes the next step, yeah, which he certainly has everything in place to do and he's got the coach to do it, that could be the best offense in the whole sport.
Well, one thing they have to do as well, though, Greeny, is get Josh Jacobs going in the backfield. Get him to play like the first rounder that he was drafted to be. You don't want everything to be predicated on what you can do on the outside and having to protect Derek Carr throughout the game for four quarters. And I believe that Josh McDaniels is going to add one thing to this offense and to this team that he's always done in New England. The ability to morph into anything you need to be to move the football, score points, and win games. That is what I'm looking for from the Las Vegas Raiders. They don't have to lead the league in points. They have to try to find ways to win football games, and that's what Josh McDaniels was brought there to do, and this offense is going to be extremely explosive. But you know, Greeny, the same way I do. We watched Josh Allen play maybe one of the best playoff games we've ever seen in a divisional round against the Kansas City Chiefs, but that Bills defense couldn't stop a nosebleed, and that's why they didn't advance and they didn't move on. If you don't get stopped in critical moments, you don't win important games. And I have to see that from the Las Vegas Raiders first.
That's fair. Now, I want everyone to understand what happened in our first hour as we had this conversation. I made that statement. Mike Tannenbaum disagreed. Jeremy Fowler disagreed. Then as the show went on, Tannenbaum basically said Josh McDaniels is the second coming of Vince Lombardi, and Fowler picked Derek Carr to be the league MVP. So I don't know what exactly it is. You just choose to disagree with me because it seems fashionable. I like the Raiders this year, Tannenbaum. How much do you like them?
I like them. I don't love them. They're the third best team with a great coach, but they have a terrible secondary. Greeny, they only had six interceptions a year ago. Now, adding Chandler Jones is a great start. Adding Rakusin is excellent. But until they can consistently get people off the field, as RC just alluded to, they are going to be the third best team because of the fireworks in the AFC West.
Fowler?
Yeah, talking to people around the league, they believe the Raiders are very good. Maybe a few pieces on defense away, although safety Trevon Moehrig, they believe, is a superstar potentially. But this is a team that has offensive line help that it needs, and they can score on anybody. But the feeling is, maybe I need a little bit more time to get this done.
Well, look, the one thing that I will obviously concede to everyone is that their biggest problem is the company they keep, which is to say they play in the toughest division maybe in NFL history. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is the Broncos' acquisition of Russell Wilson. And speaking of him, he posted a video on Twitter. Did you see this? He posted this video of himself working out with teammates. And what got everybody's attention was the message on Russell Wilson's cleats. We'll show it to you here. It says, "Forthcoming soon," with a Lombardi trophy.
Fourth place, maybe.
Okay, I like that. So which is likelier? You just framed it for me beautifully. Which is likelier, the Broncos getting a fourth Lombardi trophy or the Broncos finishing fourth in the AFC West?
Fourth in the AFC West because they have a rookie head coach. And as Hembo has reminded us, 20% of the time, a rookie head coach makes the playoffs. Coaching matters. Experience matters. Andy Reid, great coach. I think Josh McDaniels will be phenomenal his second time. Brandon Staley will learn from his experiences with a great Justin Herbert. So while Nathaniel Hackett may very well turn out to be a decent head coach, we'll find out. But as you just said, in this sort of historically great division, Greeny, this is going to be a massive differentiator, and that's why they'll be fourth in the division.
Yeah, so here's a league officials and coaches that I've talked to are watching. How does Russell Wilson's style of play mesh with new head coach Nathaniel Hackett? Because Hackett had Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Rodgers learned to get rid of the ball quickly, won MVPs. Well, Russell Wilson, for as great as he is, the knock on him is he sits back there and takes sacks and doesn't get rid of the ball. So somebody's going to have a shift in thinking. I'm hearing the Broncos will tailor some of their offense around Russell Wilson and his skill set, particularly the deep ball and his explosive instincts and playmaking. But he's going to have to change how he gets rid of the ball as well. And that could take some time, result in some growing pains early on.
I like those stats. Sometimes it can be influenced, I would assume, by his ability to run, right? He knows he can extend a play, and so sometimes that might skew it if he thinks he might be able to make something special happen. And maybe he has to work his way out of that in order to be the most effective he can in this offense. That's something to watch. RC, how about Russell Wilson this year, year one in Denver?
I think it's going to be about Russell Wilson's mindset. And I love the fact that he's talking about getting a fourth or winning another Super Bowl, because he can't go there trying to win the MVP. Remember, we was all like, let Russ cook. It's time for Russell Wilson to be unleashed. I believe Russell Wilson needs to play within himself. They have great backs in Denver, especially starting with the Javonte Williams skill on the outside. But it's going to be about producing wins. And if playing as Nathaniel Hackett wants him to play, getting the ball out of his hand quickly, putting the football in the hands of playmakers, makes this offense more explosive. I believe Russell Wilson will do that. He understands that his legacy is set. He is a very good quarterback. He's a great quarterback to some that will be a Hall of Famer. But when you look at Russell Wilson, it's about getting that ring, getting that Super Bowl that we say is his, that he was the driving force to leading a team to that game. And we haven't seen that from him, whether it's the one they run earlier in the season or earlier in his career, or as his career grew and he became the guy, not getting his team there. That's what Denver is about for both Russ and the Denver Broncos. Play within yourself. Don't think about the moon ball. Don't think about the explosive plays. Don't think about extending the play. Think about the winning plays. And I believe that's the best Russell Wilson you can have for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. And I think and hope and believe that he will eventually get them there. But this is the team that I think is a little bit away. They had to give up a lot in order to get the quarterback, and they weren't as close as the Raiders were a year ago. So we made the picks earlier. We'll put them up again quickly here for which team is likely to finish last. Look, the team that finishes last in the AFC West might very well win a lot of divisions in the National Football League. It's going to be tough sledding. Yeah. Tannenbaum, who would you project right now to finish last?
Denver Broncos, the inexperience of Nate Hackett. And again, you're right, Greeny. If they went to the NFC North, they may win that division. So, this is historically great. I think they're much better with Russell Wilson, but they're last.
Fowler.
I'm going to go Raiders. This is impossible, but it's just process of elimination. I think the Chargers have one of the best rosters in the NFL. I got them high. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, 12 wins a year together. That should probably continue. And the Denver Broncos have sort of been poised to break out for like 7 or 8 years now, just haven't had the quarterback play. I believe, and from hearing in their locker room, that they're really galvanized by the presence of Russell Wilson. I think they will bring it all together, slight edge over Las Vegas.
A reminder that you picked Derek Carr to be a sneaky, interesting MVP pick earlier.
Because they're going to be fourth place in the AFC West, winning 13 games.
RC, who looks last to you?
Man, I told you, Tannenbaum convinced me earlier. I think it's going to be the Denver Broncos. I believe it's going to be close. Such a competitive division. But when you think about the Denver Broncos, a first-year or first-time head coach, Russell Wilson having to acclimate to that team having to become a Russell Wilson-led team, I believe that they're about a year away from being as good as they could possibly be in a very tough division.
Me too. I've got Denver, but again, I don't mean that to – none of us – you can hear from the tone of our voices. We all like the Broncos a lot. We just like everybody else, except for Jeremy Fowler, whose logic continues to confound me. In the meantime, we're just getting this hour rolling here on Get Up. On the way, we will tell you why the greatest of all time is going to have to be better than ever, or it might get ugly this fall. Tannenbaum seems to disagree. We'll talk about it. Plus, two top 10 lists without two huge stars has our Ryan Clark fired up. He will explain his tweets as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up here, and let's play a little game of fact or fiction. Ryan Clark, I will start with you. If someone said Tyreek Hill's going to be even better with Tua than he was with Mahomes, would that be fact or fiction?
That would be fiction, and I know we've heard a lot about Tyreek and what Tua has been when he's been on his podcast, but that's just podcasting. I'm a podcaster, and it's not real life, Greeny, and so I'm telling you right now, there is no way that Tyreek Hill is better with Tua Tagovailoa than he was with Patrick Mahomes.
Fair enough. Jeremy Fowler, next. If someone said Kyler Murray should hold out if he doesn't get a contract extension, should that be fact or fiction?
Fact, but with a tweak. He should hold in. He should show up to training camp and then say, hey, look, I can't go on the field. My hamstring's tight. Take it that way. You know, this is one of those situations where he and his agent, Eric Burkhart, came out early in the offseason, were consistent that they need a new deal, so you might as well follow up with that. The Cardinals know Kyler Murray's not going to play on $5.5 million this year. They're going to have to do something with his contract.
Yeah, that's still a situation waiting to be figured out. Hey, Tannenbaum, if I said the Jets are going to be better than New England this year, would that be fact or fiction?
That's fiction, and I know they were Apple stock 20 minutes ago, but we're going to be shorting their stock because the New England Patriots are the second best team in the AFC East behind the Buffalo Bills.
Now, that's really interesting to me. I wanted to bring that back, and the crew did a good job of getting us there, because you made this sneaky prediction earlier that you think Mac Jones will have a terrific year, that he's a sneaky, interesting pick for MVP. I think conventional wisdom is as follows. The Patriots have lost the guy who was sort of the brains of their offense all these years in Josh McDaniels, not replaced him. Bill is going to call the plays. That their roster right now might not be, that the cupboard might be sort of rivaling as empty as it has been in a very long time there. And that Bill, the greatest coach of all time, will need to do his best coaching job to make this team a contender this year. Is that not the way you see it?
No, I think that's fair. But let me tell you a story. In the late 90s, I was in the coaching box of the New York Jets charting plays, and Bill Parcells, the head coach, was the play caller. It worked so well, Greeny. As you know, we went to the championship game. Bill Belichick was the defensive coordinator and witnessed it firsthand. If there's anybody else on the plan that can do it successfully this year, it's Bill Belichick, and he will manage the game. This is a team with two great running backs, two great tight ends, a really good offensive line, and in my opinion, a slightly underrated collective receiving corps. So I think the CEO of Bill Belichick will manage his team. They'll be great in the kicking game like they always have. And I think they have a young superstar at the quarterback position who led a team last year to the playoffs, and they scored more points than the Patriots did with Tom Brady the year before.
But look, if you watched that playoff loss in which they got just shellacked by the Bills, I thought Mac Jones actually acquitted himself fairly well.
Yep. And Greeny, in that game, the Bills never punted. It was the Patriot defense that
let them down. That let them down completely. RC, how about it? This I think, is a pick that flies in the face of conventional wisdom. But no one ever got rich betting against Bill Belichick. How about the Patriots as we begin training camp season here, RC?
I think you never discount or you never go against Bill Belichick and what he has from a coaching acumen situation. But also, you got to look at this team and the other teams they'll be facing. The Buffalo Bills are the best team, at least on paper, in the AFC. The Miami Dolphins are an ascending team that got a lot better throughout the offseason. And you're looking at the New England Patriots trying to figure out how much have they helped Mac Jones grow from year one to year two. Yeah, I know it. We've seen his new body, and he's shredded, and he's doing some TB12 stuff. But will he be able to push the football down the field? Will he have learned enough in the offseason about the quarterback position to take that leap from year one to year two? And especially a guy like Mac Jones, who I felt like was already at the top of his physical capabilities. What did he learn? What nuances of the game can he take to the field this year? And who's going to allow him to do that? I'm not counting against Bill Belichick, but we watched Bill Belichick last year and the year before not have the best team in the AFC East, not have a team that we feel can win the Super Bowl. So I don't necessarily know what changes now that he's taken on more responsibilities, especially when we're looking at what he's doing offensively.
The Mac Jones of it all is fascinating to me. The question about him was always, how high is the ceiling? We knew the floor was super high on him coming out, and he has certainly demonstrated that. He had a terrific rookie year. No one's taking anything away from him. But with the physical limitations, whatever we perceive them to be, are there multiple steps above that that he can take?
Greedy, if you owned the New York Jets and you had one game, would you take Zach Wilson or Mac Jones?
Right now, I would take Mac Jones, obviously. But in the whole idea here, and the reason that Zach Wilson went, whatever it was, 13 picks ahead of him, is because the belief is that in the long run, Zach Wilson should be the better player, or at least could be the better player.
Yeah, and I think we got to go by what we see. I think Mac Jones has played really good football for a long time. And again, I'm shocked that the Carolina Panthers passed on him a year ago in the draft, and I think a lot of teams are going to regret that.
Fowler, what are you hearing?
We're going to see how much Bill Belichick trusts Mac Jones, because talking to some coaches around the league, they're wondering how liberated Mac Jones will be in year two. They felt like as a rookie, he was very well protected by the offense, you know, some short throws, not too many pass attempts. That's understandable, rookie quarterback, you know, good running backs, ball control. But they feel like, hey, if he's going to be that sneaky MVP candidate, potential superstar, he's going to have to do a little bit more. It's like me when I go to the gym. You're just looking for modest gains, right? You're not looking for perfection. Just a little bit more we want to see.
Okay. RC, give me a final thought on this.
You're right, RC.
And particularly on Belichick taking over the offense. I mean, Josh McDaniels, he's one of the most respected offensive coordinators in recent memory. Out he goes, and they don't replace him. Bill calling the plays. What do you think?
Yeah. I think Tannenbaum just educated me, right? When you've seen something work before, like Bill Belichick got to see with Bill Parcells calling plays, you think to yourself, I'm as smart as this guy. I learned under this guy. This is something that I can do. But sometimes ego can be what causes you to fail, and pride comes before the fall. This is very unconventional. This is almost saying we spit in the face of what we've always known coaching staffs to be. I think that Bill Belichick understands football enough to be able to coordinate, strategize, and scheme offenses. But calling plays is not only a science, but it's an art. It's something you have to feel. It's something you have to vibe with. And doing it defensively and offensively is different. You have to be in tune with your quarterback, your players, and understand what the situation needs at that time offensively. We've never seen Bill Belichick do that, be in charge of that. And so I'm looking forward to see, can he do it? But I'm doubting that he's great at it and good enough, and they have good enough players to make him or to help him get there.
Can be really, look, the AFC West is the best division. The AFC East might be the most interesting, because aside from Buffalo, there are just fascinating questions everywhere you go. In the meantime, our next stop will be Hollywood. Are they making a sequel of something that candidly was a disaster? We'll find out. Wendy's going to jump back in, tell us why Russell Westbrook's future in L.A. comes down to one simple thing, and he won't be alone. The big fella's ready to go. Big Bird getting up with us early on ESPN this morning. Don't miss it. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Don't miss Steph Curry tonight, the 30th annual ESPYs from the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles, live 8 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. Speaking of basketball superstars, let's play right or wrong as we bring Big Perk into the conversation. Kendrick Perkins, if I said the Knicks are the perfect fit for Donovan Mitchell, would that be right or wrong?
Oh, that would be absolutely right, Greeny. The combination of Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson in your backcourt is exceptional, okay? And look, they wouldn't be title contenders. They wouldn't be the favorite to come out of the East, but they would definitely be eye candy to attract other players to come to the Big Apple and play for the New York Knicks.
Yes, if you bring him, they will come. KD and Kyrie will be Nets next year. Would that be right or wrong?
Oh, that'd be right. Both of them will be in the Brooklyn Nets uniform to start the season. Here's why. One, teams are reluctant to trade for Kyrie Irving because they don't trust him. They don't know what type of player he's going to be in the locker room. And here it is. We thought KD would have been traded. He's not, because teams don't want to give up their young superstars or stars for Kevin Durant.
So many questions. And then we get to the Lakers. If I said the Lakers' big three can turn things around, would that be right or wrong?
Oh, Greeny, this is going to kill you. It would be right. Long as Anthony Davis is the go-to guy. He's the guy that is in the peak of his prime. And two words for you, Darvin Ham. Players, a coach that played the game of basketball and going to hold those guys accountable on the defensive end.
Wow, I like that. Let me bring Brian Windhorst into that conversation and pick it up there, because I think that flies in the face, Big Perk, of what a lot of people think. So if people were to say to you, look, yes, LeBron James, no one would put past him being the best player in the whole sport again this past year, this coming year. Maybe they do get Anthony Davis going the right way. But the third piece of that remains Russell Westbrook. We saw how bad that fit was a year ago. Big Perk, are you saying you believe they can find a role for him that makes sense and works?
I do, Greeny. And if we look at the two teams that represented each conference in the finals last year, it was the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. And their head coaches were Steve Kerr and Ime Udoka, two guys that played the game of basketball. I believe that Darvin Ham could put these guys in position to be successful, especially Russell Westbrook. And here's another thing about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook has to be very, very careful on how he approaches this season and how he finishes this season, because Russell Westbrook could go from being one of the top paid guys in the NBA to out the NBA. Like, he has to be careful, so he has to buy in and take a lesser role this season and flourish well in it.
If he's there, and Wendy, that is the big question. If he's in Los Angeles, they've laid out what they want the role to be. But is the conventional wisdom right now, is your belief that Westbrook will be a Laker this season?
What Perk just said is, I think, what people in the league are saying, because there's still aftershocks in the league right now about the split that Russell Westbrook had with his longtime agent last week, Thad Fauché. And in the statement that Fauché gave to our Adrian Wojnarowski, he said he has advised Westbrook to accept the role that Darvin Ham has laid out for him, which is a starting role, but is a lesser role, a supporting player role, not a star player role, a role where he is the dirty work guy. He is defense, screens, waiting in the corner for the ball to come to him, not him necessarily setting up the offense. That's what Perk is talking about. That's what Darvin Ham is talking about. But Thad Fauché said that he and Westbrook had irreconcilable differences. So what is Westbrook actually doing? Is he going to accept that role, or is he not? And as he looks for new representation, which I'm told he is, what is that new agent's job going to be? What is Russell going to task him with? These are unanswered questions that we and the Lakers certainly are going to want to find out in the short-term future.
One more unanswered question. And go ahead, Big Perk, go.
Granny, let me say this to you and Wendy. Think about this for a second. I thought about the market for us with Russell Westbrook and the teams that could actually take a chance on him and bring him in to be the Russell Westbrook that he thinks he is and give the ball and the keys to the organization. And it's only one team that came to mind, the San Antonio Spurs, a team that have low expectations. So when I think about Russell Westbrook, I'm thinking along the lines of that if he's not careful, his career could possibly end like Allen Iverson's career did. We all know that Allen Iverson
and that's
left
what
more
Thad Fauché.
Go ahead, Wendy, finish it up.
That's what the agent Perk. I think the agent was saying you got to take what's on the table. You can't look for something else. That I think what you're saying is what his agent told him to. You're not alone. Many other people feel this exact same way.
That's the point. For Westbrook, if he wants to be in a situation where he puts a ring on his finger, he stays where he is. If he wants to go someplace else, you never know what level of relevancy you're sort of depriving yourself from having. All right, guys, stay there. Mm-hmm. We'll do more. Big Perk, I got much more for you as the morning continues. But I want to get to some college football here because we had that man, Nick Saban, on this show yesterday from SEC Media Days. And his answer that reverberated the most came when we asked him a question about conference realignment. Here's what he said.
The mega conference, you know, will create, you know, a little more of a caste system maybe in college football. And I think everybody's got to decide if that's the direction we really want to go or not. Obviously, at Alabama, we're one of the haves. It's probably a good thing. For some of the have-nots, you know, maybe it won't work out as well.
Look who is here. David Pollack is ready to go. That means college football is right around the corner. And so, David, you hear from Nick Saban there, using words like mega conference, caste system, haves and have-nots. What is your reaction to the things he said?
Well, I think it's always cool when coaches talk about the have-nots when they are the haves. They actually do care about the sport. I think that's pretty cool. But listen, the sport has changed. The rivalries, they're gone. It's not about rivalries. It's not about geography. We've seen that, the shift that's occurred now. It's about securing your future. How do you look out for the best interest of your company, your team? Like, that's what this is business now, and I think you've seen that shift. Look at, I mean, how crazy is it going to be watch Ohio State play USC? And USC comes to Ohio State in November, and it's 3 inches of snow on the ground, freezing their butt off. And then all of a sudden, the next week, Ohio State might go to UCLA and play in 77-degree weather. I mean, just it's not about the geography. It's not about the history. It's about how do I secure my financial future. And that's what teams are doing. They're looking at lists like big business and looking out for the best interest of their programs.
Right. Like once upon a time, that was the Rose Bowl. But that was then. And David, I think what you're saying is that this is now. And look, you're a person who played this game at the highest level. You have dedicated your life at this point, professionally speaking, to covering the game. Do you believe these changes that feel inevitable right now, in the end, are a net positive or a net negative for the sport and for the fans?
Well, I like it. I think we all like the way it is usually. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter because you've seen things change and you've seen NIL come in and people go, I'm not going to watch this if these kids get paid. You're still watching. Like, the fan bases run deep. The fandom runs deep. The cheering for college football is not going to stop. You see, it's still one of the most popular sports in all of college football. So it's not going to matter. It's not going to change the game. It's going to look different. It's going to make people sometimes feel uncomfortable and understand, why are we doing this crap? Why is everybody flying all over the place? to play football games when you could play teams in your backyard. You could keep the history of the game together, but it doesn't matter. The sport will go on, and if we get the three super conferences, you're going to have a lot of people that are left out. I mean, think about that. The sport's going to go on for those teams that are in a great situation that bring value, but the teams that don't bring value, shoot. I mean, all the history they've built up and the things they've done, that just kind of goes by the wayside as well. And again, some people will care and some people won't.
Yeah, that's something to keep a close eye on. While we have David here, I thought it was worth at least a quick moment here and going on the field a little bit, because so much of the college football conversation has been about all this business, and for understandable reasons. But as sports fans start sort of turning their attention now, we work our way towards August, we work our way towards college football. For those who are starting to focus in right now, Paul Feinbaum said earlier this morning that Saban has the best team. If I gave you Alabama or the field right now, who would you take?
It's July, which is beautiful that we do this. I love it. But, man, I'm taking daggum Alabama again. This is what we do. But they lost last year. But, Greeny, they got the best offensive player in the country. They got the best defensive player in the country. They got the best player in the country, period. They recruited a stupid level every single year. We see that year in and year out. And now what do? They go in the transfer portal and get the best players. I mean, you're talking about going to Georgia getting their best wide receiver. You're talking about going to Louisville getting a great wide receiver. You need a good cornerback? Well, let's go to LSU and get the best cornerback, probably one of the best cornerbacks in college football. Every hole they needed, they filled, not only with their depth of recruiting, but also the transfer portal. They absolutely killed this year. So Alabama versus the field, give me Alabama.
I like it. And that was also an early daggum here from David Pollack. One more. Who's the best player? Right this minute, who's the best player in the country?
Will Anderson. It's the guy last year that should have won the Heisman, Greeny, but it's an offensive award, and we don't give it to defensive players because, you know, we like the flashy numbers, and you can quantitatively measure passing yards, and you can see the guy scrambling around. Bryce Young won it against Georgia. Will Anderson, if he was drafted last year, would have been the number one overall pick. And Hembo Nugget, how about pressures? This is a guy that had more pressures than Thibodeau, Hutchinson, and Trayvon Walker all combined. He is an absolute assassin. It's funny, Greeny, they asked him yesterday at SEC Media Days, would you ever consider sitting out because you might be the number one pick? No, I love football. You can tell by the way he plays, he loves football. He's the best player in the country.
Esther, already start look ahead to next year's draft. I have a bunch of quarterbacks, and we got that kid who's probably the best player of them all. David, awesome. So good to hear your voice again. We will see you soon. David Pollack, it means college football is right around the corner. In the meantime, this is interesting. Kevin Durant talking about his legacy. Ryan Clark had a fascinating tweet about legacies. We will show it to you. He will explain it, and we'll see what Big Perk thinks, too. As we continue, it's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord. As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face. Well, it's been too long since we've seen that. Ryan Clark is ready to explain his tweets, and he had one last week that we'll begin with that set off like a lot of conversation on social media It was really interesting. So RC tweeted, people might say I'm caping for Lamar Jackson, but to me it's common sense. Any other quarterback with his impact, his success, his overall statistics would be worshipped. Yet we are discussing why he isn't in the top 10 QBs. The three other former MVPs are in the top four. Guess I'm dumb, though. RC, I loved it. Explain that tweet.
First off, Matt Ryan, I'm sorry you were an MVP and you were not in the top four. That is my fault. But let's get back to the real thing at hand. Lamar Jackson, his impact on the team, the way he changed the team, not over the years, from taking over from Joe Flacco with the losing record and bringing that team to the playoffs. Oh, but he played terrible in the playoffs. Next year, wins the MVP. Oh, but he didn't play well in the first half of the playoffs. Next year, wins a playoff game, and we just keep moving it back. When you look at who this dude is, what he means to the Baltimore Ravens, any other quarterback that means that much to a team, we are throwing money at him and the rest of his family. But Lamar Jackson, well, I don't know if he can be in the top 10. You know what the problem is? When Jeremy Fowler broke out the top 10, here is what I realized. All of the people that let Lamar Jackson slip to 32 don't want to be dumb. They can't admit, you know what? Me, we might have got it wrong. It doesn't have to look like it used to look. It doesn't have to sound like it used to sound. It could still be effective. Oh, by the way, we're saying he's not good. Everybody in his class that was drafted, they all stink. But yet, Lamar Jackson is the guy we continue to talk about why we can't give him money or put him in the top 10. I am sick and tired of not the double standard, the 31 standard, because the 31 fools that let Lamar Jackson drop to 32 will not admit, you know what? We might have made a mistake.
Yes, no, it's ego and confirmation bias at the same time. I agree. You said it last week on this show. He's not a system quarterback. He is the system. I like it. Okay, the next tweet you had, you tweeted, I don't know everything, but I know this ain't the top 10 wideouts. RC, explain that tweet.
Bro, did Ja'Marr Chase retire after his first year? Since Deebo Samuel didn't participate in the offseason, he can't be rated a certain thing on Madden. Greeny, Ja'Marr Chase kills people and he just runs straight. There's like no move. It's not no stutter. Deebo Samuel was the best wide receiver and running back on the same team. And you mean to tell me these two dudes cannot get a Madden rating that's in the top 10? I'm going to tell you what. That's why I was always terrible at the game, Greeny, because you didn't have to punt on 4th and 15, and the ratings for Ja'Marr Chase and Deebo Samuel have them out of the top 10.
Outstanding. I have missed this so much. In the meantime, the last one that we want to point out here is one I'm going to bring Big Perk in for as well, because I just think this is a really interesting conversation starter. So RC tweeted, at some point, us old folks got to understand, these young boys ain't worried about legacy. Legacies don't pay bills, take care of families, or get you rings. These boys have their own motives and are moved by them. Let's stop guessing what they're thinking and applaud the checkmates. That's a really interesting discussion, particularly at this moment in time. RC, explain that tweet.
I think, you know, I'm looking at and listening to people talk about, you know, Kevin Durant's decision or what Kyrie Irving wants, all these people changing teams and doing different things. You can't sleep next to a legacy. A legacy can't be left to your family when you pass. That's something that we made up so we can talk about it and compare players. Right now, they are about happiness. They are about peace. They are about being in a place that they want to be, that gives them the best chance to win, but the best chance for joy. And that's something like we never knew. The old heads always thought this. You got to go through misery. You got to go through adversity. It makes a man tougher. It makes him harder. It makes him better. No, it makes him bitter. It makes him sad. It makes him angry. And these young boys ain't trying to feel none of that. And honestly, I'm not even mad at them.
Well, Big Perk, what do you think?
Greeny, I could not disagree with Ryan Clark, like, right now, like, more than ever. Listen, here's why. Think about this for a second. If we was talking about happiness and we was talking about playing with great joy, wouldn't KD have stayed in Golden State where he was playing with great joy and having fun playing the game of basketball with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green? When we talk about legacy, KD knew that he had to go to the Brooklyn Nets, that he had to leave because in his mind, although he was the best player on that team, in his mind, it was always going to be Steph Curry team no matter what. So what did he do? He decided to take his talent elsewhere and team up with Kyrie Irving. Why? Because he wanted to go out there and do it on his own. So when I see guys requesting trades like right now, I see Kyrie Irving trying to get to LA to team up with a LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You know why? Because Kyrie Irving played his best basketball with LeBron James at a consistent elite level. And he knows that with LeBron James, he hasn't won anything without LeBron James. Hell, he's barely made it out of the first round without LeBron James at times. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, when you talk about legacies and you think that these young guys don't care, they absolutely do care, Ryan Clark.
Go ahead, RC, go.
First off, here's my pushback on that. We're going to talk about happiness. I don't care who was playing on the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant was the best player on that team, and it wasn't a conversation. But you know what was happening to Kevin Durant when he was playing with the Golden State Warriors? He was getting cussed out by a guy named Draymond Green, who at the time wasn't averaging double digits. And that may be wrong, but that is just me using hyperbole, exaggerating to make a point. Draymond Green is cussing Kevin Durant out. The best player could have been arguably the best player in the world, the only person at that time that could take a team that was good enough and beat LeBron James with him. That was Kevin Durant. That's why he left Golden State. That ain't joy. That ain't happiness. The dude just wanted to hoop. That's why he was in Brooklyn. So it wasn't about that. And for Kyrie Irving, yes, Kyrie Irving has not won anything without LeBron James. But Kyrie Irving played great ball when Kyrie Irving was available, when Kyrie Irving decided to show up. Kyrie Irving puts the ball in the basket no matter what arena he walks in. And so to me, it is about happiness now. It is about peace. You don't sage an entire arena if you are not focused on peace.
Give me a final word on this,
Ron,
big person.
Ron,
go.
Ryan, I love the pivot, and I know that you're doing a great job on your own podcast, but have you watched The Shop lately? Did you see LeBron James' recent comments?
Yes, I watched the show.
Did you see LeBron James talk? Did you see LeBron James talk about championship or bust? Did you hear him say it bothers him and he have sleepless nights when everybody else is not on the same page? Did you hear Steph Curry also say that this Did you hear Steph Curry say after this championship, did you see him melt down and break down on why this championship meant so much more to him? And we're talking about a guy that is on a $200+ million contract and is making $300 or $400 or $500 million from Under Armour. What else motivation do he need? He's talking about his legacy.
It's a fascinating conversation. I would love to keep it going. The show's going to end, whether I'm ready for it too or not. RC, it really sets off a fascinating discussion. And so it's one that we will continue to have here. And maybe they'll continue to have it on First Take as well. They're coming up in just a few minutes here on ESPN. They're getting ready to roll. They'll talk about Davante Adams. Will he regret leaving Aaron Rodgers? Plus, Dabo Swinney will join the show. First Take coming up, top of the hour, right here on ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The last time we saw Patrick Mahomes in a game, he was losing the AFC Championship. Now the Chiefs superstar is without a key piece. So why are many expecting him to have a huge 2022? We are in search of answers in our Get Up Training Camp Tour,
which is now officially underway. And so we've now brought up everything I could think of to this point. Mike Tannenbaum, what did we miss?
Lamar Jackson's going to the last year of his contract, Greeny. This is your star franchise quarterback, former league MVP. Your owner, your head coach, your GM, every single day, that's all you're talking about. What did he do today? Did he text somebody? It's destabilizing to your franchise when you have a great young player who's on the precipice of becoming a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, that continues out there, and every day that passes makes it less than – what do we think? Jeremy, what's the latest here?
Yeah, well, I checked with somebody with the team. I was told that they've been talking. They will continue to talk, but that nobody's panicking. No major rush here. They want to get it done. But this could be a little bit of a Dak Prescott situation where this draws out over time.
But look, I mean, those have worked out well in the past for some quarterbacks, right? I mean, it worked out well for Dak, financially speaking. Yep. It worked out well for Kirk Cousins once upon a time. If that's the route – it goes in Baltimore. That'd be something else. Guys, awesome today. Thank you so much for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. The fun and conversation continue with First Take right now.